But I'm excited this morning about part two of our freedom series. And I love this time of the year because when we start the year, everybody kind of starts it with this mindset of starting over. And so we design our series every year. We design the series that begins in January. We design it with this idea of something that can help us in our spiritual lives. Something that we can change, or something that can happen, or something God can do in our spiritual lives that can improve our spiritual lives. Let me put it that way. So we're not maintaining the status quo anymore, that we can improve in our spiritual lives, because everybody comes into this time with that mindset. I love this time of the year, because if you're like, I think it's 90% of the population, if you're like that, you're going into January setting some type of goal. You're going into January with some type, some call it resolution, some call it catalyst into change, some call it whatever you call it. You're going in with some idea of what you want to change. And it's one of my favorite times of the year, but all of us also experience and we struggle with things that we put on those goals. A lot of us, we put things on there that we struggle with, and it's just a frustrating time. And some people, they stop putting things on, or they start even making the list altogether because it's been the same list that they've made for the last 10 years. And so they just give up, and it's just, okay, well, that's just who I am. That's just who I'm going to be, and I'm not even going to try to change it anymore. And so this series is designed to go after those things. In fact, it's to go after that one area. And you know what it is in your own life, to go after that one area that's still coming after us. They're still trying to claim God mastery over us. And so 4 years ago, I understand the struggle with this, by the way, because 4 years ago, in 2015 in January, I set a goal for myself. And I always try to set some kind of health and fitness goal. And that's a very broad term, right? Some type of, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to do this, I'm going to really start doing that this year. How many of you set health and exercise goals? Like, you're going to lose weight, you're going to set these. How many set? The rest of you should, all right? The rest of you just 4 years ago, I just get you on my team just to begin with, all right? Just get you on my side. I set a goal for myself that I was going to run a marathon in 2015. Now, I hate running. I hate it with a passion. If you've been around here any amount of time, you know that I hate to run. I take it as my banner verse, that verse in Proverbs that says, only the wicked man runs when nobody pursues, all right? I got that right on the wall of my house. But I hate running. But that year, for some reason, out of 2014 into 2015, I decided that 2015 I was going to run a marathon. At 26.2 miles, all right, everybody? Just put that out there. And so I wrote it in my journal. I was going to do it. I started looking up, getting myself inspired. Started looking at those guys who run marathons barefoot. Those guys who run 50 marathons a year. Those guys who run it when they're 100 years old. I got inspired. I was going to do it, get my endurance up. And I'm happy to report to you that I ran 26.2 miles in the year 2015. Some people ask me, well, what was your time? What was your time? I did it in just under 8 months, all right, everybody? Just under. I beat it by just a. I know there are people that do it in 5 or 6 hours. I commend them. I think 8 months is about the best I'm ever going to do. I think that's about the best I'm ever. And I'm curious to see what happens when it goes kind of backwards, because now I hate running more than I ever have in my entire life. I hate it more. I can't stand. I'm not ever running. If you ever see me running, come help me, because somebody is behind me. All right, just come. And so we run into these frustrations where we just kind of give up. We give up on those things. We're never putting it on our list again. We're never going. And so I think this series is going to help a lot of us in our spiritual lives, because there are things that have attacked us, things that have kept us in bondage, things that we have let hold on to our life that we've just given up on. Say, well, that's just who I am. So I got a verse for you. It's our theme verse in John chapter 8. And it's Jesus talking. He says to the Jews who had believed him. So I want you to notice that just right off the bat. Notice it's not just the intro to the story. Just right off the bat, these are the Christians. These are those who already believed. Jesus talking to them. And he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Good job, good job. Now watch this line. Watch this line. If you hold it, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And so after you've believed and you've held to his teachings, then you'll know the truth. So there's this process that goes on. He's talking to believers, talking to Christians. And he says, then there's this process that goes on where you'll start to know some truths. And then he says, and the truth will set you free. And so they answer to him, right? They come back, and this is how a lot of you might answer if this was said to you this morning, which it is being said to you this morning. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been slaves of anybody. What are you talking about? Now we can be free. We've never been enslaved. We've never done. We are Abraham's descendants. Let me put that in modern translation, right? I've been a Christian my whole life. What are you talking about? I'm a slave of something. I can be enslaved. I can be under the bondage. I'm a Christian. I've got it all going on. I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. I've got this thing going on. And Jesus said, very truly, I say to you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everybody who sins is a slave to sins. We're going to talk about that just a little bit this morning, because there's a frustration that comes along with enslavement. There's a frustration that comes along with this type of slavery. And the chances are, if you're a Christian, when you got saved, a whole bunch of your stuff that was in your life, a whole bunch of things that had you bound, when you got saved, it was gone. And it never came back again. But you're still dealing, and a lot of people are still dealing with one area. There's usually one thing that you deal with, one thing that you just can't seem to get out of, one thing that still calls to you, one thing that still tries to get a place in your life, still tries to hold some kind of sway over you, still tries to have mastery over your life. A lot of Christians still have that one thing that they're dealing with again and again and again. The problem with slavery is, if you have that area, and a lot of us do, almost all of us, I have that area. When you have that, he says, but a slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son belongs to it forever. The sons of the kingdom. And so he's saying, but if it belongs to it forever, in the next verse, he says, so if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And the problem is, slaves have no freedom. In other words, you're not living the life that God has called you to live if you're still under the bondage of sin. If you still have that thing, you're not living the life, all that God has for you to live, if you still have that one thing that tries to take over, the one thing you haven't dealt with, you're not living it. And there's a frustration that goes on with that. And the frustration as a pastor is not to lead people just to heaven, but to lead them to all the life and power that God has for you here on this earth. And that becomes a frustration, a balance there, where people kind of give up, just, I can't get it out of me. That's just who I am. And the Bible goes on to say, once you know it, the truth will set you free. You no longer have to be a slave to those things. And so I don't want you to miss a part of this series. And so if you missed last week, just to kind of catch you up, we kind of made the argument that you are made up of your spirit, your body, and your soul, and how the body and the soul comprise the flesh part of you. It's what the Bible calls the flesh. If you see that in your Bible, that's what it's talking about, your body and your soul. And those are the parts that connect you to yourself, your selfish desires, and the parts that connect you to other people. And so what we do during prayer and fasting is we cut out the other voices that compete with our spirit. Those other voices, we cut out those things that feed into the body, feed into the soul. And a lot of times, because those desires are anti-God. A lot of times we have selfish desires in our body. You know you have them. I've got them too. We got selfish desires in our soul. Our desire to please other people. Our desires of our mind for our ego. We have those selfish desires. And they're anti-God. And so during this time, we kind of made the argument that you can jumpstart your spirit man, the part of you that came alive when you were saved, the part of you that communes with God, that connects with him, your spirit man, we start to feed it more during these 21 days. And so that's why I encourage you to go through these 21 days with us. We want to go in a different direction than where we've been going. So Galatians says it this way. It says the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. So the flesh, body and soul, are against the spirit. And the desires of the spirit, right, are against the flesh. So he's saying that, you know, that what we actually are trying to accomplish are at war with each other inside of you. There is a war going on, and it's keeping you, watch this next part of the verse, but opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do, to keep you from living the life that you've always wanted to live. And so you've had that in your mind. You said, I want to live this way. I want to do this. And you say, and a lot of times it's even secretly. A lot of times you have that part of your life that you even have that conversation with yourself. Of it doesn't have to look like this. It doesn't have to look like this. And so what our freedom series is here at the beginning of the year is we're going to deal with those areas. If you can pinpoint, we're going to deal with those areas. And we're going to get them out of our lives once and for all. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. So if you pray for these 21 straight days and you start to work things out of your life that your body can do without, probably permanently, all right? Some of the things that you're giving up, probably your body can do without. Some of these media fasts that you can do without permanently, but at least for 21 days. And you start to let your spirit man listen to God. You start to hear from God. Start to tune that in. Or you say, I'm going to give up food for this. Or I'm going to give up a meal here. Or I'm going to get the news out of my life. Somebody say amen, right? I'm going to get these things out of my life that are speaking into. You start to work them out of, you know, it's amazing how much that becomes a part of our lives. The stuff that we're now trying to give up through. It's amazing how much, and you don't realize it until it's gone. You don't realize how entrenched it's become in your daily routine, how entrenched it's become in your way of thinking. These just getting bombarded by outside influence. So I want to encourage you, even though we're in day number 8, jump in with us on these 21 days of prayer and fasting. Just jump right here in the middle. Just go all in. Say, I'm going to give up this for this next week. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to show up. It might be here in the church at 6 or at 6 or right online. We stream every single one of them in your house. Wherever it is that you're going to just focus on God, you're going to pray more than you've ever prayed in your life. You're just going to go after him, and then you're going to give up something that your body really doesn't need probably to begin with. And you're just going to seek after God and let his spirit. It's a powerful, powerful time. All right. But I want to continue like, okay, Ben, I'm doing all of that. All right. But I still have this one area. I believe all of that. I'm with you up to this point. Why do I still have this one area that just won't let go? In fact, I want to show you a verse that I think will encourage you and encourage me. So I don't know. Maybe it'll encourage you guys. And this is the Apostle Paul writing. Apostle Paul, who planted a whole bunch of churches, who wrote 2/3 of your New Testament, right? This amazing man of God, right? He starts it off, I don't really understand myself at all. I'm just glad that's in the Bible. You glad it's in the Bible right this morning? I don't care if it encourages you. It encourages me this morning, all right? I don't understand myself at all. For I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Somebody, that's your motto, right? You got that written. I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. This great man of faith said, I don't understand myself at all. And some of you are saying, I feel the exact same way. I don't do what I know I should be doing. I don't do what I know it should be. And so he said, we've got a very real problem that we're going through. And the thing is, though, that there is a very real solution. He unpacks it in the next chapter. Now, here's the deal. I want you to take the journey with me this morning. The Freedom Series is about being free. It's about taking the journey and finding out, okay, where is this thing in my life that I haven't dealt with? Where is this thing that keeps cropping its head back up? Where is this thing that I've got to beat back day after day after day that tries to take control of me? We're going to be free of it, but it doesn't happen in a 30-minute message. It's a journey that you take. And so hopefully I give you enough catalyst this morning to encourage you to take that journey. But that's why we do a lot of the other things that we do around here. Because if you don't take that journey, I want to just start here at the beginning. If you don't take that journey, there's another progression that happens. If you decide I'm not going to deal with it, I'm just going to let it keep coming around and around and around. I'm just going to let it kind of hang out in my life. There's another progression that happens. And that is it becomes part of your identity. It becomes a part of your identity. So you begin to say, well, that's just who I am. I can't change it. That's just who I am. I'm an addict. I'm an addict. I'm greedy. I'm just a lustful person. That's just who I am. My whole family, we just got Scottish heritage. We're just mean people, right? We're just mad. We're just a bunch of mad people. Right? You just begin to say, well, that's just who I am. I can't change it. I can't do anything about it. You start taking it on. This is who I am. This is me. Look at me this morning. That is not who you are. It's not who you are. It's who the enemy wants you to think that you are. It's not who you are. And so a lot of you, if you've gone down this, you say, I'm not going to take the journey to get this out of my life. It becomes a part of your identity. And the sad part is, if it becomes a part of your identity, the next part is you start to feel increasingly hopeless. You start to feel like there is no hope. And a lot of you came in this church building this morning with no hope. And you put it so far behind you, you just say, it's who I am. And so there's no way that I'm going to be able to change it. And so I've got no hope. And so what I need you to do this morning is start to hope again. Start to believe that things can change again. But if you come and you become hopeless in that, in fact, some of you didn't even add it to your resolution list because you said, well, it's never going to happen. I've had it 10 years now in a row and it never happened. And so it's never going to happen. And so it's just who I am. And you become hopeless. And the problem is when you become hopeless, then you become defensive. You start to defend the very thing that has you enslaved. So that's when somebody comes, I just think that you have, don't even talk to me about it. Or somebody in your life is like, well, honey, I think you have a... No. And you start to defend the very thing that is enslaving you. And so when someone comes to you, just, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I'm on top of it. I got control. I'm okay. You start to defend it. And the problem is when you start to defend it is you become a slave to it. Now you're a slave to it. And it's cracking the whip. And it's telling you what to do and where to go. And it's in control of your passions and your desires and your actions. And when you become a slave to it, and the tragedy of this whole progression, when you become a slave, the fifth part is you begin to lose your life. You start to lose your life. And in some cases, yeah, you're still going to heaven, but you lose all quality of life here on the earth. You even begin to lose sometimes your family. You start to lose your sanity. You start to lose those around you. You start to hurt them. And then in most tragic cases, you lose your life. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I don't want that to happen in any of us. And so this morning, January morning, freezing cold outside here at Victory Harvest Church, you have a chance to make a turn. You've got a chance to make a change, to make a decision that I don't want this progression to happen. I'm going to deal with this thing. I'm going to find that thing that has me enslaved. And Jesus said, the truth is that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Kind of modernize that phrase. We've got to change the way of thinking. We got to get some truth back into our lives and put ideas in our head. And that's what church is all about, by the way. That's really what this is about. We come in together just among each other. We come in with all these things that we start to sing songs of praise to a mighty and powerful God. We start to sing. We have other people around us who are also lifting him up and also singing how great our God is. And it starts to encourage us. And we start to think, okay, our God can, our God can. And we start to believe in that. We about to believe, yes, our God can give us. And so then God gives us the power to do it and to see it happen in our own lives. We're going to encourage ourselves. We already have been doing it. We've already been gotten just praise reports from people just in these 7 days of things that God is doing. Things that we're lifting up on a Monday night, we're getting a praise report Tuesday. Things that God is doing, bringing people back to him. Getting people saved that you never thought would get saved. Getting people healed that never thought they could be healed. People coming back to God. It's just an amazing time. And so we're going to begin to feel that. We're not going to be hopeless. We're not going to give up on these things. We're going to go after God with everything that we've got. And so this morning, I want to start off briefly, just a small part of the message this morning, with an area that I almost didn't do this, all right? I almost didn't include this in here. And during this prayer, I've just been praying about it. And I thought, all right, let's just go for it. Let's just go for it. Because what I'm about to say, in fact, Mr. George Bonney is kind of like the Gallup poll of the Christian world, all right? And he took a survey. What I'm about to say, almost 6 out of 10, 59% of Christians in America don't agree with what I'm about to say. About 60% of the American Christian population do not agree with what I'm about to say. And so I thought, maybe we won't do this. But this morning, I'm going after that 60% of you guys, all right? I'm just going to go after you because you got to, the truth will set you free, all right? The truth will set you free. And so you ready for this, all right? You've got to know this truth. It's going to make some of you kind of uncomfortable, make some of you kind of nervous in here this morning. I don't care. Get over it, all right? You got to know this. There really are demons. Like there really are. Like there really are. And so we've been going through this 7 days of prayer. Like they're not just costumes on Halloween, right? Just this kind of funny thing with a pitchfork that runs around, right? There really are. And almost 60% of Christian population in America think, well, oh no, the devil is just a symbol. It's just a symbol. Well, if I was the devil, that's probably what I would want you to think as well. Well, it doesn't really exist. It doesn't really do anything because you will never fight what you don't believe exists. You will never actively fight if you don't believe it even exists. You will never take your stand. You'll never actually fight about it. Quick survey this morning, right? Get you back on the page with me. How many of you have ever been robbed? How many of you have been robbed? Something taken out of your purse, something out from your house, right? Something out of your car. How many of you slept right through it? How many of you? Tell me some hands right there. How many of you didn't even know the thief was there? How many didn't even know, right? Just here, I'm going to blow your minds this morning, all right? Here we go. Just a big truth for you. You can write it down in your Bible. You can write this down. The thief probably didn't want you to know he was there. Like the thief didn't knock on your door right that morning and say, hey, y'all, wake up. I'm about to rob your house. Like I'm coming in here. I'm going to take all your stuff. Wake up and watch me do it, right? Hey, everybody inside that house, I'm out here going through your car, right? I'm just taking your stereo system. Just go ahead. Keep watching that game. You know, I'm just out here doing this. Probably didn't want you to know that he was there. His ploy is that you don't know. His ploy is you don't know. And let me tell you a truth. In your spiritual life, you need to know. You need to know that the thief is there. First Peter says it this way. Be self-controlled. Be of sober mind. And I like this first part. Wake up. Wake up, everybody. Be alert because you have an enemy. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. My church, don't just kumbaya your way through Christian life thinking, well, if I don't bother him, he doesn't bother me. No, he's out there looking for somebody to devour. And you've got to take your stand, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Now, a lot of you are saying, well, oh, pastor, I can't believe you're talking about demons in this church. You just can't believe he's talking. I don't like that when you just start. Well, everybody... Even everybody's comfortable. Even lost people will talk about angels, right? Just the angels, guardian angels of the Lord. They're just, you go to a funeral, they're just, well, the angels of the Lord. Just, well, there's some truths you got to know, and the truth will set you free. Now, some of you go crazy with this kind of stuff, all right? I'll be honest with you. We're just talking. Some of you go crazy, just wow, just on the fringe of this. Some of you are like, well, now finally we got to the good stuff, right? We're finally in the good stuff. Yeah, I've been waiting for years for you to. Some of you are like, can we get a little bit more of that at the movies, right? Can we just bring that back a little bit, right? What's this going on? Just give me a little bit more of. And so there are two extremes in this. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said that Satan hails the skeptic and the superstitious alike. He likes it when you think there's a devil under every rock. He likes that. He likes the superstition where you think, well, man, I ran out of gas today. There's a demon on my gas can. There's no demon. You forgot to go to the gas station and fill up your car. There is no demon there, sister. All right. Just calm down. You're all right. He likes the superstition, but he also likes the skeptic. It says, well, I don't believe that. Well, that doesn't make it go away. That doesn't make it go away at all. Because if you just choose not to believe, I'm going to give you some truths this morning, all right? Somebody say amen. Here's number two, the truth. We can be under their influence. We can be under their influence. Some of you are saying, that person I'm married to is under their age. And somebody always challenges the straw man with this. Somebody always comes back with this. Well, are you saying that if a Christian who is born again and filled with the Spirit, are you saying that a Christian who is saved can be possessed by demons? Well, no, that's not what I'm saying, all right? Probably not in your definition of it. But in the Bible, the word possessed, it means a mastery, it means a control, it means a possession of, it means ownership. Let me put it this way. The person that robbed your house didn't own your house, but you better believe they were influencing it. The person that robbed your car, they didn't own the car, but you better believe they were influencing it. You could be influenced. I'll show it to you in the Bible in Ephesians. It says, in your anger, so if you're doing do not sin, do not let the sun go down. Why? While you are still angry, right? And don't go to sleep. This has kept my wife Alyssa and I many nights fulfilling this verse, all right? Don't go to sleep. I'm just, confession's good for the soul, bad for the reputation. Here we go. All right. And he says, why? Why don't do those things? Why don't do it? Because do not give the devil a foothold. He's talking to Christians. This is a letter written to the church. Paul is writing this to the church in Ephesus. He's saying, don't give the devil a foothold. And the verse goes on, the Bible is pleading with you. And the verse goes on, those who steal, don't steal any longer. Don't sin anymore. Don't get away from your old past. Because if you do, you give the devil a foothold. You crack a door, you crack a window every time you blatantly disobey God's word. When you click on that porn site, sir, and it got quiet in here right now. When you click on that, you're giving the devil a foothold. Are you going to hell? No, sir. You've been bought with a price. God owns you. God has bought you with a price, but every time you do that, every time you step out, you blatantly disobey God's word, you are giving influence into your life, into the life of your family. You better believe that that influence is coming every time. And this is just one area in our Christian walk that this is, our anger, our attitude, when we blatantly disobey God's word. So the Bible pleads with you, lock the doors, lock the windows down. Don't give the devil a foothold. We're getting free in Jesus' name, everybody. Somebody say amen this morning. Here's a third truth. And this one you ought to shout about. They have to flee in Jesus' name. So there are demons. We can be under the influence, but they have to flee in Jesus' name. That's the good news this morning. That's the power of the message. Yes, they're there. They can influence you. But as Christians, we have that power. I'll show it to you in Luke. The 72 return. So time out, I'll just kind of explain that to you. Jesus, at one point in his ministry, he just sends out 72, right? Not just his disciples, sends out a whole bunch of people. And he just said, hey, go heal the sick, go preach in my name, go get a bunch of people saved, go liberate a bunch of people, go do all these things, do all of that, right? And then come back and tell me how it went. And so they come back, and this is where we are in the story. They return with joy, and they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They're like, it's the biggest one of all, God. Even Jesus, even the demons are coming out. We're casting them out. It's the biggest one. And Jesus says to them, it's not that big a deal if you know what to do. He said, that's not that big a deal. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given it. And a lot of you, that didn't mean a lot to you. But Jesus is saying, and just to give you the backstory on it, the devil, Jesus is saying, well, I saw it happen. And Isaiah and Ezekiel record this story because Satan, before he was Satan, was Lucifer, the angel. And he was the lead worshiper in heaven. Kind of leading the angels and singing and doing everything. And then he decided, well, I don't want to lead the worship anymore. I want to be the one that's being worshiped. And God said, well, that's not on my watch. You know, that's not happening. And so he said, well, you know, you just got to. Yeah. So Jesus is telling them this story. He said, I saw this happen. And he cast him from heaven to earth. And he fell. And of course, Jesus is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the other two are kind of sitting back and watching God the Father kind of transact this little business of you gots to go, right? You gotta get on up out of here. And so Jesus is saying, if you think that's great that the demons are coming out, you think it's a struggle, you're all fired up for that. When my father dealt with Satan, this is how long the battle lasted. Lightning bolt. Like, bam, done. And a lot of times I think we get that in our brains that this is some kind of like cosmic struggle. Like there's two superpowers like fighting it out, right? Like, ooh, the devil's going to win. Ooh, God's going to win. Who's going to? It's not like that. Satan is a created being by our God. We serve a mighty and powerful God. And when he deals with him, it is lightning bolt quick. And so Jesus is saying, don't be all about that. I've given you authority to trample. And these are symbols of demons, snakes and scorpions, overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, don't rejoice at these spirits. Submit to you. But he said, don't get all hopped up on that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the miracle. Rejoice that you're on the right team, that God has saved you, that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice for that. He said, because when God fights the devil, it is lightning bolt quick. He said, that's what the big thing is. He says, lightning bolt quick. Romans chapter 8, another verse for you. He said, in all these things, you're not just conquerors. We're going to talk about this next week. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who saved you. He said, in all these things, you are more than a conqueror. And this verse, I love this verse. Write it down if you need to. This next one, 38. It says, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, hey, God is saying just nothing. No angel, no demon, no nothing will separate you from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, fine, Pastor, that sounds like a bunch of good preaching, but I believe all that and I've done all that and I'm still struggling with that thing. Why am I still struggling with this one thing? That's a good question. I want to unpack that for the next few minutes as we close today. I want to unpack that because I believe that there is a truth for every single one of you this morning. There's a truth, and the truth will set you free. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is a secret to it all. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. So we don't fight with guns and bombs and all the rest, but we do fight, he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. There is a fight going on in the spiritual. And if I could stop here just for a second, are you fighting another war? Are you fighting in the spiritual? Is there a war going on? Because the Bible takes it for granted that you are fighting. So I would just ask you this morning, and before we go on in this verse, are you fighting? Are you fighting another battle? Are you fighting in the spiritual? Don't just skip on over this thinking, well, that's really good for my day. And are you fighting the battle? I know a lot of people spend time with God and they got the kumbaya part down, right? You just got it down pat, right? You just know how to go in there and feel the fuzzies and do it. But a lot of people are missing the whole spiritual warfare aspect of it. And you're not fighting anything. Prayer is not just communion with God. Prayer is confronting your enemy. And so in these 21 days of prayer, when we're confronting our enemy, that's what you can use this time as. You can go in there in spiritual warfare. So the Bible makes that assumption, though. I hope you're fighting well. I really hope you are. And on the contrary, the weapons we have, they're divine power to demolish strongholds. And I would tell you that this morning, strongholds, that's your area. That's what the Bible calls your area, because that's the area that has the strongest hold on you. And it probably doesn't mean that much to you this morning, but let me see if I can break it down. When you got saved, you had about 90% of everything just boom, done. But I'm still dealing with this. And the Bible calls this your stronghold. And it probably doesn't mean a lot to you in this wording, but if you look at the original wording that it's used, that's the power of this message, the power of this verse. And I'll have you know that I worked a night shift for 2 years in college with a guy who was taking Greek in seminary. And so I have 2 weeks of night shift Greek under my belt. All right, everybody. So it's all still Greek to me. All right. But I looked up this word for you. All right. This word stronghold. And in the original Greek, in all the Greek lexicons of the Bible, watch this. It means a prisoner locked by a big bad devil who just hurts me and he's just strong and he does a no. Well, that's just a mean devil pokes me with his pitchfork and doesn't. No. He lies to you. The stronghold in your life is the enemy lying to you. That's the only power he has. And I say it's a weapon. I'll tell you this. It's the only weapon that he has against you. Is that he lies to you. A stronghold is a deception. Secondary definition, same lexicon. It says living by something that is not true. You're living your life by something that's not even true. That the devil has lied to you again and again and again until you say, well, that's just who I am. He's lied to you. And that stronghold in your life that needs to come out in Jesus' name, you need to be free from, is just a lie of the devil, of an enemy, just speaking into your life over and over and over until you believe that it's true. And so this morning, a lot of us are going to be free. A lot of us are going to break free. And the problem is we believe in Jesus, we believe in God, we might even be going to heaven, but we've bought into some lies. We need to get them out. And you say, well, how has this worked into my life? Because of bad programming. We've let too much bad programming get into our lives and not enough truth. And it has wrecked every single part of your life. It has ruined every part of who you are. And so this morning, if I can encourage you, open yourselves up again. Just think, I can be free. Jesus can set me free. In John chapter 8, Jesus said this about the devil. He said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see any common like root word there? You see any? We put it yellow for you just in case you can't. Well, actually, this is cantaloupe. This color is called cantaloupe. We cantaloupe this for you, all right? You see this? He lies. The liar is the father of lies. This is Jesus' job description of the devil. This is his job description. He is a liar and the father of lies. And so I just want to encourage you. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. What do we do about it? Back in 2 Corinthians, he said, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? It's in your Bible. What is the truth of God? It's in your Bible. It's in the church where you can hear truth. Instead of all the lies that you let bombard you over and week in, week out, it's the truth of God. And it says we demolish arguments, every pretension against the knowledge. We take captive every thought and make it captive before God. We take captive the thoughts of the mind. So it's a battle of the mind. It's a battle that goes on right here in so many parts of your life. The battle is won or lost right there. Because if you choose to buy into the lie, you choose in Romans chapter 12, see another verse for you, just in case you're not convinced. Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Okay, I'm trying. I'm really trying, God. How do I do it? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can do what is true and perfect and then do the will of God for your life. You can be transformed. All right, one more time, just so in case you're not convinced. Ephesians says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. I'm trying. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. I know. So what do I do about it? To be made new in the attitude of your minds. In the attitude of your mind. To be made new in the way that you think. You got to get some new thinking. And how do we do that? That's what I want you to know. We get these lies out and we replace them with the truth of God's word. We defeat the enemy by replacing lies with the truth of God's word. You want to know this? We've been leading up to this point. You want to know how you defeat the enemy in your life. You want to know how you change that programming. You defeat the lies of the enemy with the truth of God's word. You replace it with the verses that God has promised you, the verses that God has spoken to you. You begin to replace that in your life. You get the lies out. You believe the truth. And I've got something that I want to say this morning. It's really going to hurt my feelings if I say this morning. I'm really glad that you attend. I hope you keep attending. I'm really glad that you come here on Sunday mornings and things. But you need more than this. This is not enough. My messages are not enough. And that really hurts me deep to my core this morning, all right? My messages are not enough for your life. You need more than this. You need a process for your life to be changed. You need a process for your life. So I'm not asking you just for this 21-day prayer and fasting. I'm not asking you just to come and do, because that is so important that you're going to pray more and do more. But I'm asking you, and we've asked you this, is give us 1 year of your life. Give us 1 year of your life that you say, I'm going to come during the 21 days. I'm going to pray more than I've ever prayed in my entire life. I'm going to go after God more than I ever have in these 21 days. And then I'm going to fast. I'm going to give up something that my body craves, something that my body desires. I'm going to give that up. And then as we move through the year, you're going to say, well, if I haven't been water baptized, I'm going to get baptized this year. This is going to be the baptism this year. We're doing that the second week of February. If you want to be baptized. You say, well, if I haven't done that, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to go on step one of the growth track. I'm going to go all the way through it. I'm going to find out what my spiritual giftings are. I'm going to find out what God has called me to do. I'm going to go through those steps. I'm going to do them. And then I'm going to get on a team. I'm going to serve. Part of your freedom is in serving other people. part of the freedom that you have. So I would encourage you, sir and ma'am, is to get on a team and start to serve people. Start to serve, start to see the change. When we have conferences around here, if you're married, come to the marriage conference in the summer. Just come on out with us. Just say, I'm going to make that step. I'm going to go. When we have small groups that start in 3 weeks, man, I would encourage you to get in a small group. Because it's not just one thing to say, I want to see change in my life. It's another to step out. Take a year and just run the play. Do everything with us. Begin to see the change take shape in your life. And on Sundays, come on. Don't just come once every 3 or 4 weeks. Come on to church. Just come on. Come on to church, right? Just be with us. You're saying, well, Ben, that just sounds like a lot of commitment. Yeah, I'm asking for a lot of commitment. Unless you want to see that same thing come again next year. That same thing just come again, again and again and again. I'm saying, let this be the year. Let 2019 be the year that you break that thing off your life. And I promise you, you do all of that and you come to me after a year. You say, I did it all. I sought after God. I did all those things and nothing changed. Nothing. You come to me after a year like that. I will go with you to find another. I will go and join another church with you. All right. Because we ain't got it like I thought we had it. All right. Yeah, but I promise you that will not happen. That will not happen. If you just say, God, I'm open. God, I'm going to give commitment this year. I'm going to just be committed to work this thing out. I'm going to be free in Jesus' name. You start to do that with us. Take the journey. So what can I give you today? As we're closing up today, what can I give you? I wanted to give you the starter truths. The starter truths as we take this next step in our freedom series into being free. That all of us need. And everything before this was my head to your head. Just words and talking and things, the truth of the Bible. This is from my heart to your heart. These are the starter truths that I hope you can receive this in your heart. Because you have to believe this if you're going to take this journey. You say, I'm going to be free. If you're going to take this, you have to believe this. Some of you are so stuck, so enslaved in your stronghold. I know it because I read your prayer cards, because I've done counseling, because I've met with a lot of you. You can see it. Some of you are so stuck, and you've got to believe this. And here's the first one this morning, the first truth. And you've got to believe this for yourself, that God loves me, and he's for me. That God still loves me, and he's for me. And I believe this so strongly because I spent 2 years in college playing bass in Tennessee for a mean church with mean people. Just a mean pastor would get up every Sunday and point his finger and tell everybody they were going to hell. And those poor people, every Sunday they would get saved. You know what I'm talking about? Every Sunday, that whole group, you'd see a group of them just come down the center aisle to get saved on that thing. Because he would preach, and they were getting saved because they don't want to go to hell. I just, no other reason, no other, those, and those people were scared. I'm sitting in the back, I'm almost going forward to get saved, right? They just don't want to go to hell. And a lot of people, they get saved not because they want to be anywhere near God. They get saved because they don't want to go to hell. And they don't want to be anywhere close to God because they don't like him, because the way he's been portrayed to them, that's not who God is. I don't know how God was portrayed to you. I don't know how it's ever been taught to you. God loves you and he is for you. And God still loves you and he is for you. God knows what you did last week and he still loves you. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Amen, everybody? God loves you. He's thinking about you right now with a smile on his face. God loves you and he is for you. Some of you feel so stuck in whatever area that you are in that you can't remember this truth. I'm telling you, write that on. I don't care if you take notes or not. Write that down somewhere. Say, God loves me and he's for me. Wake up every morning. God loves me and he's for me. He's thinking about you. John 3:16. Take this in fresh today. Take this in fresh. This is how much God loved the world. This is how much God loves you, that he gave his son. Nobody loves you that much. Nobody loves you that much. I don't love you that much. And I probably am in the top. If praying for you and thinking about you is a measure of how much, I'm probably in the top 5 people who love you in this world, all right? Probably people who love you in this world. And if it means my son Elijah has to die so you and I can continue to know each other, nice knowing all of y'all, all right? It's been really fun, but it's not happening. Who loves you that much? God does. God does. That he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one needs to be destroyed. But by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. I like the way the message put this. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger and tell the world, you're going to hell and you're going to burn. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son to die so that he could preach mean and tell mad and just tell everybody how he's going to hell. He didn't do all that to show the world how bad it is. He came to help. He came to free you. He came to put the world right again. God gave his son because he loves you and he's for you. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Second truth you need to know this is that I can be free. Some of you are going through your life and you're believing all the rest of it, but you never would say this out loud. You never would say this in your heart. So I want all of us, every person in this room, if you're watching online, you're home alone, you're watching after the fact, wherever you are in the world, all of us in this building, we're going to say these four words. I want you to say this out loud with me. I can be free. I can be free. Some of you have not let yourself admit that fact. Some of you never let yourself say those words, I can be free. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. I can be free. I'm going to believe again. Some of you, I said you'd lost hope. I'm going to hope again. Some of you right on the brink of giving up. I'm not going to give up. I can be free. God loves me. He's for me. He can set me free. Romans 8. And said, with the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter in Christ here, being here for us, no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. Amen, everybody. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated life, a brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Setting you free. The spirit of Christ has cleared the air, freeing you. I can be free. You can be free. God is for you. He loves you. You can be free. And here's the final one this morning. Number three. I want you to take this from my heart to your heart. I can be restored. I can be restored. I want to show you a verse in Psalms chapter 71. Again, from my heart to your heart this morning. Accept this. Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. He's praying that right now. I want you to say, I can be restored. Because God not only wants to save you. He not only loves you. He not only wants to free you. He can restore you. I don't know where you've walked. I don't know what hurts and what things have been done to you. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what things are in your past. I don't know what you have gone through in your life. But God is saying, I not only love you. God is saying, I not only want to free you, but I can restore you. I can make you new. I don't know what you've lost. I don't know when your innocence went away. God is saying, I can restore you. I can bring you back. I can make you new. God wants to take the hurt. He wants to take the scars. He wants to take your past. He wants to take your brokenness. And he wants to make something beautiful. And if you believe that, if you'll come before him just humble and say, I believe it, you can restore me. God wants to do something amazing in your life. I'm talking to you this morning. So I really believe that for each and every one of you, that God can do something amazing. God can make you beautiful. God can restore you. Amen, everybody? Bow your heads with me this morning. Bow your heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. All of that I talked about today, every single part of it, all those steps, the journey that we're going to be on to find freedom in Jesus, all of that begins with a committed life to him. And so I'd ask you this morning, not are you a Christian, are you not? We get that so confused sometimes. I would just ask you, are you living a life fully committed to Jesus? Is every part of you fully committed to Jesus? Are you fully surrendered? Does he have every part of your life? And if he doesn't, Christians and non-Christians alone, if he doesn't, this prayer is for you. If you say, I'm not fully committed, but I want to be. I'm not free yet, but I want to be. I've got that one area and I want it out of my life. If that's you this morning, you say, I want to have a fully committed life to Jesus. I want to pray with you this morning. If that's you this morning, you say, I want to go all in. I need Jesus to be my Lord. Come on, make up your mind this morning. Make up your mind who you're going to serve, what you're going to do in the 2019. Make up your mind what kind of decision you're going to make. And so I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come to the front. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed this morning. But I would just encourage you this morning, if that's you, if you say, I want to pray that prayer. If that's you, I say, I want to commit my life to Him. I want to be fully committed. I want to be all in. If that's you this morning, make up your mind. And just shoot your hand up all over this building right now. If that's you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up all over, guys. If that's you this morning, you say, I want that. I want to be fully committed. Thank you. Thank you. Just be bold. Your enemy has been bold. Thank you. Be bold this morning. You be bold. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just be bold. Great job. Great job. Man, awesome, awesome decision. If that's you this morning, you want that prayer, we're going to all pray it together. Just slip your hands down as we pray. And we're all going to say this out loud. Even if you are fully committed, we're going to renew our commitment. We're going to say this out loud together. Come on, pray this, mean it in your heart. I can give you the words, you got to mean them. Come on, church, let's pray. God, forgive me. God, free me. God, restore me. Jesus, I make you my Lord. Forgive me. Make me new. Come live inside of me. I give you everything. Lord, I'm going to give you my all. Say these words, I'm all in. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. Jesus, be Lord of my life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Man, the rest of you guys, come on, can we give God praise for those people who made the best decision of their life today? Man, come on, stand up with me this morning. Stand up with me today. We're just going to praise and worship Him for what He's done here at the end. God, we praise You and we worship You. Lord, we lift You up. God, we praise You and we worship You. As we go out, as we go into these next 14 days of prayer and fasting, we believe God is going to free us. God is going to restore us. God is going to change us on the inside. We're going to go after Him in everything we've got. In Jesus' name, come on, let's worship.